Well, how did it all turn out? I'll bet it didn't turn out like you thought it would, because it normally doesn't. It usually turns out altogether differently than what we thought. And I'll bet the first time that you ever gave serious consideration to it was when you were in high school. You remember when you were in high school, the kids used to sign your yearbook? And they'd write something like, "Here's to the one most likely to," and then they'd fill in that blank with whatever it was they thought would compliment you. I'll bet that may have very well been the very first time you gave any serious consideration to your future. Well, the future of that day is today. How did it turn out? Did it turn out like you thought it would? It normally doesn't. It normally is altogether different. And it seems to me the good news is it turned out even better than you thought it would. And I'll bet the minute I said that, at least one or two of you said internally to yourselves, what I had imagined, what I had hoped for in life, had that happened, it would have been a lot better than the life I'm leading. But see, that's wrong. The life you're leading is the best life for you, because you're living the life that God planned for you. God planned your life long before you were born. So the life you're living is for you better than any life you could have imagined for you. There were three tiers floating down a river. Two of the tiers said to the first tier, "Hi, who are you?" And the first tier said, "I am the tier of a girl who lost the man she had hoped to marry." And then the first tier said to the other two tiers, "And who are you guys?" And they said, "We are the tiers of the girl that he did marry." The life you are living is the best life for you because it was planned for you by God. You see, God's plan for your life is really very simple, yet it's very complex. The theologians say this is why you were created. And the way they say it, you were created by love, to love, for love. And what they mean by that is this: God is love, and love created you. Now, God loves everything he's created, so he loves you. Now, what does someone in love want from the person that they are in love with? They want that person to love them. So God wants you to love him. So you were made by love, for love, to love. And part of the plan is for you to love God. Now, in order for you to fulfill this plan, you got to do your part. You cannot come to love anyone, let alone God, until you come to know them. So you can't love God until you come to know him. So part of your obligation in this plan of life from God to you, part of your obligation is in this life come to know God, come to love God, so that you will be happy with him forever in the next life in love. Okay, so how do you get to know God? You can't get to know anyone unless you have a relationship with them. You can't build a relationship with anyone unless you talk to them, unless you spend time with them. And of course, when we talk about spending time with God, naturally that's prayer time. I don't believe that there's anyone in this congregation who does not spend time in prayer. You all do, we all do. And probably if you're like most of us, most of your prayers are rote prayers: "Our Father who art in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace," or prayers of petition: "Please God, don't let this happen. Please God, let that happen." And there's nothing wrong with rote prayers, and there's nothing wrong with prayers of petition. Prayers of petition are our spiritual need, and rote prayers are a good way to get started. Just like when you get to know your neighbor, there are rote conversations. "Good morning, how are you?" And then you get into conversation. But catch the difference. If you said to your neighbor, "Good morning, how are you?" and that's all you ever said, "Good morning, how are you? Good morning, how are you? Good morning, how are you?" you would never have a relationship with them. So rote prayers are good. You get started with rote prayers. But then when you're praying, sometimes add something differently. Add something different. Why don't you try just talking to God? Start with the rote prayers, throw in the please God's give me, don't give me, and then talk things over with God. That's a different concept. Tell him what's going on in your life. Now, I know that God knows everything that's going on in your life. He doesn't need you to tell him, but you need him to tell him. You need you to tell him. Talk things over with God. Get to know God a little bit. Now, when that happens, slowly and surely you will come to know God because you're spending time with him. And here's the payoff for that in this life. When you come to know God, you will begin to see him in your life. You'll be actually able to see his presence in your life. You'll come to see that God, in fact, is taking care of you. When you look back and you talk things over with God, you look back on your life, you'll come to see he's always taken care of you. Now you'll come to trust God that he'll take care of you the rest of your life. And when you come to trust God, you come to know God, you come to love God. Now you got that plan in your life. You take time to be with God, you get to know God, you come to love God. And when all of that happens, then what do you suppose happens in this plan God has for your life? Obviously, at the end of this journey of life, you will be taken into your glory. God's plan for you, the life you are leading, is the very best life for you because indeed it is your path to glory. And when you come to end this life, you will then spend the rest of eternity in love with God. And what you get in this life from getting to know God is this. When you come to trust God, then life gets a lot easier. You relax. You're no longer uptight. When you come to trust God in your life, then you begin to, as Christ said, plant in your life the good seeds. You see, when you plant in your life the seeds of fear, suspicion, jealousy, envy, aggressive competition, what you reap is insecurity, anger, fear, uncertainty. When you plant in your life the good seeds of hope, love, generosity, kindness, then you begin to relax. Now life doesn't seem so tough. Now you begin to accept God's will in your life. And when that happens, you become more confident. You become more relaxed. Fear goes away. Anxiety decreases. Worry goes away. Now you're a more comfortable person. When you're a more comfortable person, what happens in your life? People are comfortable around you. You begin to experience more love from them. Life gets wonderful for you again. Now you're living the life that God has planned for you. And as I said, when that life is over, the completion of the plan is glory with God in heaven forever. And let me ask you this question. How do you suppose that'll turn out? Well, the good news is, no matter how wonderful you think it might be, no matter how stupendous you imagine it will be, it's going to turn out even better.